Psalm 23, and we will pick up here with the Shepherd Psalm, and fascinating, absolutely fascinating, it really is. I hope that we can all get out as much of it as I've got out of it personally, just going through it. It's wonderful. It's a psalm that all over the world people know of it. Like the bass, sheep, herders, and others are all familiar with it because it's David was a shepherd. He knows all about it, and that psalm is one that shepherds have always been able to identify with. So Psalm 23, verse 1, we looked at the first part last week. The Lord is my shepherd. Now in the night, the second part, David says here, I shall not want. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Please direct us, help us, and guide us tonight, Father. Instruct us out of thy word and all truth, all wisdom, and all understanding. And Father, we ask this according unto thy will. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Last week, we noticed how David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he says that in a correct, a boastful manner. Like he says in other places in Psalms, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So he says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's a confident boast in the sense of, the Lord's my shepherd. That means I've got the best shepherd. He'll look after me. He'll take care of me. My shepherd is not Baal. My shepherd is not Ashtaroth. My shepherd is not Milcom. The Lord is my shepherd, the true and the living God. And because of that, David can say, I shall not want. Now, there was a little girl one time. That was a little girl that I knew of. And she was quoting this. And bless her little heart, she got up to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And she got up and said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want that. So she got a little backwards. Now that's what you do want. But when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, we know that the word want means to be deficient, to be lacking. And with the Lord is one shepherd, you're not going to lack. Amen. You will have exactly what you need. With the Lord as his shepherd, David knew that he would never lack for what he, as one of the Lord's flock, needed. And he knew that. He said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be deficient. I shall not be lacking. Whatever I need, in whatever manner, be it physical, be it spiritual, be it whatever way, the Lord will provide that. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 9. Psalm 34, verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want, or lack, shall not want any good thing. Any good thing. Go to Psalm 84. See, the difference is, any good thing, but it's according to his standard of good. Sometimes our standard of good is different than the Lord's standard of good. They shall not want any good thing. But again, that's what he determines, what he knows is good. Not always what we think and know is good. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Again, but what we've got to understand and know is, listen, the shepherd knows the needs of the sheep. He will supply them with every good thing. Not everything that is good to them, but everything that is good for them. And we've got to remember that. It's the same thing you do with your children. You won't supply everything that would be good to them, but hopefully everything that is good for them. And those are two different things at times. Sometimes things that are good for us, not exactly always good to us, but they're good for us. And that shepherd will supply that. All right? Take your Bible, go to Luke 12 a minute. Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Again, the ideas of sheep. Like with David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All right, same principle. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Again, all things that he knows are needful and good and right and proper because he's the good shepherd. The sheep don't know what is best for them. Our good shepherd does. The Lord does. Sheep don't always know. Left to themselves, they'd be a mess, all right? But that shepherd will watch over, and he knows what they need. Not always what they like. Not always what's enjoyable. But he looks out for their best interest, and that's what our good shepherd does. All right? Go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Again, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, looking after his sheep. Real quick, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Notice, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Go to Psalm 27 with that in mind. The Lord is my... Notice, it's funny. We see in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, David says. Hebrews 13, the Lord is my helper. And really, they go together. Because that's what a shepherd is supposed to do to help that flock. And that's what our good shepherd does. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So David says the Lord is my shepherd. He said the Lord is my light, my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my light. And in Hebrews, it's quoted as saying, the Lord is my helper. So to be a shepherd is to be a helper. The word helper means one that helps, aids, or assists, that furnishes or administers a remedy, one that supplies with anything wanted. And the Lord is that good shepherd. 2 Corinthians 1. And it's interesting enough, Paul, referring to himself and the other apostles as under shepherds, under the chief shepherd, all right? Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Helpers, that's that word helper again. And that's exactly what that shepherd's to do, is help that flock. Help that flock. And the Lord is our help. He's our strength. He is our shepherd. But let me ask you something. The Lord is my shepherd, David says, I shall not want. Do you feel, and y'all, I want you to be honest tonight, do you feel that he has not supplied your want, your deficiency, your lack? If you're one of God's sheep, do you feel that he has failed you? That he has failed to supply your want, what you lacked in, what you needed? Has he failed to do that? Now, the only one who can answer that's you. But do you feel that way? Well, then the answer would be, are you taking advantage of his provision? Are you taking advantage of the good? Now listen, he's the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. They've said, the Lord is my shepherd. So you got to make sure he's the Lord your shepherd. Well, if you're one of his sheep, if he's your shepherd, you can say like David, I shall not want. But are you taking advantage of his provision? Do you expect to be force-fed? I mean, he's not going to do that. Seriously. He is to feed that standeth still. Do you come to the feeding trough? Do you sit still? I mean, really, you know what? One of the things I found about sheep, there's feed and there's grazing. In studying this stuff, there was feeding and grazing. Feeding is what is put out when they come and they come in and they, it's put out for them. Grazing is when they go out in the field and they kind of grow. You know what that is? That is amazing. Feeding and grazing. Feeding is coming to church, preaching and teaching. Grazing is your own personal Bible study. Your own personal Bible study. That's wonderful. It really is. It's wonderful how that butt thing is there. There's feeding and grazing. Feeding is, again, put it out. Put it out. There it is. There it is to be put out. But they've got to come to it. They've got to come to it. It can't be force-fed. And then grazing. Okay, cut them loose. Cut them loose to go graze. But they got to do it. They've got to do it. So he'll provide. And the Lord provides. Okay, listen. He leads. Do you follow? He provides pasturage and food. Do you show up for it? Do you receive it? And I mean, not just to church, but in your... Do you graze? Do you try to graze in his word? He provides rest. He provides safety. He provides protection. Do you stay close to him? Do you take advantage of what he provides? Seriously. I guarantee you, you stay close to the shepherd, you will never lack. You stay close to the shepherd. Look, if that sheep stays close to the shepherd, he's going to get his water. He's going to get his food. He'll be cut out, cut loose to graze when it's time. He'll be brought in when it's time. He'll be looked after. When there's some kind of illness there, that great, our great good shepherd will take care of it. He'll provide safety. He'll provide protection. I mean, come on. The closer he is to that shepherd, the less he's got to worry about the wolf or the lion or the this, the closer he stays to that shepherd. But if we are the Lord's sheep and he's our shepherd, if we lack, then it's not his fault. Are we availing ourselves of what he provides? And I tell you, the closer that sheep stays to, and let me tell you something, the closer the sheep stays to the shepherd, the closer the lambs will stay to the shepherd. And there's safety, and there's everything that's needed. What happens is a sheep gets a wandering desire sometimes, like anything. Goats can lead them astray sometimes. But they'll get wandering desires, all right, and get kind of further away from that. But safety is around. You stay around our good shepherd. And there's safety there. You know, I thought in going through this, because there's so much here in this song, right? But tonight, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. So that means he'll take care of feeding, grazing, water, safety, healing, sickness. He'll take care of those things. You know, there are some signs, in the studying I was doing, there's some signs of a sick sheep. There's some signs that come up to show that a sheep is ill. Well, one of the first ones mentioned was isolation from the rest of the flock. They say a healthy sheep is usually first at the gate trying to get in. So they say, okay, a sheep that is usually first at the gate but now come in and last is an ill sheep. Now think about that. Now surely we can draw conclusions from that. I mean, okay, because right? We can. So the way they said you can tell a sheep is, okay, if usually when it's time for feeding, it's always, it comes in a certain way. You know what I'm saying? It's usually first at the gate, or there's you can always count on it being, but then all of a sudden now it's not. Now it's not. Guess what you can tell? There's a sheep that's ill. There's a sheep that has a problem. And brethren, look here. Now listen, you know. Listen, where you sit is where you come to church, is where you feel comfortable at, and it's fine to that. But you've heard before, and it wouldn't have got said if there's not something to it. You've heard before, surely sometime, preachers mention and say, well, you can always tell somebody, they'll start up in a certain place, and then gradually they start moving back, they move out. Well, there is something to that. In every case? No, not in every case, but it's undeniable. That's just the truth. Why? Because sheep are like that. That's a sign of an ill sheep. Something's wrong. Because from its normal behavior, ready, getting it, but now, just backing up, backing off of it. That's a sheep that has something wrong. There's something wrong. That's for sure. All right? Now, do you know what? The exception to that is a lost sheep. A lost sheep. Not so they say, and this is all the reading I was doing, they say not showing up for feeding, not showing up is either due to being lost or ill. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. Not showing up for feeding is a sign of being either lost or ill. Either way, the situation isn't good, right? Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful and promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And boy, that when the reading I've done about sheep need each other. They have that flocking instinct, and they just encourage and help one another. They need each other. That flocking instinct is so important from them. So you know, if we are God's sheep, there's going to be a flocking instinct with us. There'll just be a flocking instinct. I mean, that's sheep. That's the way of sheep. So spiritually, that will be the way of God's sheep, a flocking instinct. And if it's not there, if something is amiss there, it's either a lost sheep. If it's not showing up, it's either lost or there's illness. There's illness. All right? Go to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Acts 2 and verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Notice, continuing daily with one accord. The flock was together. There was unity, right? Look at Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in it. That one accord, all right? And Acts 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles, were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So that flocking instinct, it was there. They had that. They were flocking together. That's the way of healthy sheep. It said next that healthy sheep are always hungry. They are eager to eat. In fact, they will overeat if allowed to. Lack of appetite is a sign of a sick sheep. Amen. So that's a healthy sheep. A healthy sheep is just eager to eat. It just wants to feed on. It wants to eat, you know. And a healthy one of God's sheep, a healthy sheep of the Lord's flock, it's got a hungry appetite for the things of God. In fact, they said they'll overeat if allowed to. And we'll get that, believe it or not, that is one of the problems we'll deal with as we go on with this thing, right? Lack of appetite is a sign of a sick sheep. A sheep reluctant to get up is usually in pain. Now, can I say something? Is this saying that any of these are bad sheep to be kicked, to be made fun of, to be beaten down? No, they're unhealthy sheep who need help. You understand that, right? I mean, look, even the one lost needs to be found. Mm-hmm. Listen, these things are not, you don't kick them. The shepherd don't go and say, bad sheep, stupid sheep, worthless sheep, no count sheep, you're just pathetic sheep. No, the shepherd says, sick sheep, ill sheep. We've got to find out what's going on. We've got to treat this thing. This thing needs help. Look here. So what's one of the other signs? A sheep reluctant to get up is usually in pain. Also, a sheep taking a long time to lie down is also under stress. Now listen to me. None of this stuff is stuff I'm pulling out of my hat. This is stuff that I've read in studying sheep. Now surely, brethren, we can draw some parallels here. We can see some things that I believe God means for us to see. A sheep reluctant to get up is usually in pain. Have you ever felt like I just can't get out of bed? Have you ever felt like I cannot get up? And it takes every bit of thing I've got to get up. All right, let me ask you something. If some of you saw a sheep laying down on the ground. They couldn't get up. Would you go over there and go, get up? What's wrong with you? Get up! The shepherd's got sense, knows, and our good shepherd knows something's wrong. That thing's in pain. A lot of times when they lay down, we won't get into it tonight, but a cast sheep, there's such a thing as a cast sheep. It finds a depression and it lays down and she can't get up. And the shepherd doesn't go and say, you're done. You're done. And kick it. He goes over and helps it up and lets it lean on him because the gas is built up and it's rooming and it's got to lean on him for a while to get its legs back and get it steady. Shepherd's supposed to be a helper. If we're going to help each other, we're going to help each other in homes and our lives and one another. That means sometimes somebody's got to lean hard on you. Somebody's got to lean on you. I mean, sometimes, listen, you need somebody, you need to let somebody lean on you till they can get their legs back up under them and start taking those steps and moving. A sheep reluctant to get up is usually in pain. Can I tell you something tonight? If you ever sense in a child or someone else that someone is just being, of course, you know, let me ask you, couldn't you always tell most of the time when your children was just being lazy? And you said, get up. But haven't you enough sense at times to be able to see to where it's like, wait a minute, something's wrong? Haven't you been able to tell when your children, some's like, all right now, come on, sleepyhead, get up. Oh, I don't want to get up. Okay, amen. Absolutely okay. But some's like, I just don't feel good. Something's wrong. Let me give you some advice. Don't tell somebody in life to just shake it off. Brethren, people go through things. Let me tell you something. If they could, they would shake it off. They would give $1 million, everything they own and everything to shake it off. Those people can't. And may I say something to you? You better hope to God you never go through something and have somebody say to you, just shake it off. Some of you have been there. You've been through some things in life. You can't just shake it off. You wish to the Lord you could. Listen to me. That shepherd helps. This is helper. Ladies, what does the Bible say that God made Eve to be to Adam? A help. You remember that. Guys, we help too. Children, adults, family, help. Our Lord's a good shepherd. He knows, look, a sheep reluctant to get up is usually in pain. It's not just doing it, it's in pain. A sheep taking a long time to lie down. Listen, also a sheep that cannot relax or grinds its teeth. If a sheep just can't, and it's grinding its teeth, that's a sick, something's wrong. If it can't lie down, it's under stress. Those aren't my words. Those are words of my reading and studying this. Go to Job 7. Brethren, now I love you. I'm basically just reading to you. You know what I'm doing to you? I'm reading to you tonight things I've researched and studied. Surely, if you're saved, you can make the applications here. You know what you need to do? You need to file this stuff away. You need to file it away. Because you're going to need it to help somebody one day. You may need it yourself for your own self, but you're going to need it to help somebody. You're going to need it someday to help somebody. Job 7, look at verse 3. So am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I'm full of tossings to and fro into the dawning of the day. Whew. Look at that. You know what Job's like? Have you ever been, I guarantee you somebody listening to this recording has been there. Have you ever been in a situation to where you're like, if it was just night, and then I'll be at nighttime, you're like, if it could just be day. The stress of such a thing and time can be unbelievable. Job was going through it. says, when I lie down, I say, when shall I rise and the night be gone? And I'm full of tossing to and fro into the dawning of the day. I mean, it's just like no rest, no nothing, just looking for something. That's a sign of a sheep that's ill. A sheep that needs some help. You know what I say a lot of times? A lot of times there are things the shepherd can do. And a lot of times the sheep just needs strength. And God has so made the body, it can heal itself. You know, giving them a good diet, giving them some support and just some, I'm serious. Brethren, don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. Listen, you are going to have sometime possibly a family member or a friend, a husband, a wife, a child, a father, a mother, an elder. You know what? They're going to be going through something. And they can't just... And you know what? You need to be there to try to help and strengthen. And a lot of times just good, healthy diet. And you know what I mean by healthy diet. You know what I mean? Just good support, good... You can help. They'll come on out of that thing. Sometimes God will provide help in other ways. And healing. But what I'm saying is these are signs of an ill animal. They didn't go and say, stupid sheep, get up. The sheep would. A healthy sheep runs to the grazing time, runs to the feed. It wants it. Something's wrong. It can't. All right, what's the other signs? A sheep with its head down and not alert is an ill sheep. A sheep that's got its head down, sheep that's got its heads down and not alert is an ill sheep. Because the normal aspect is up and bright and, you know, and aware. And it manifests depressed, lethargic behavior. Come on, have you gone through something in your life before to where you just felt that way? Lethargic, depressed. Those kind of things happen. I've mentioned before, brethren, don't be ashamed to ever acknowledge it. See, Charles Haddon Spurgeon went through it tremendously. William Cowper went through it. John Newton went through it. That's why John Newton wrote How Tedious and Tasteless. That's why he wrote that song. He was going through a time he just couldn't find God nowhere. He knew he was saved, but he just couldn't find God. And he was like, everything's dead and flat. Listen, a sign of the ill sheep, head down. Have you ever seen somebody, even when he was coming up in school? Somebody you knew? Have you ever seen somebody and you see him? Well, you know. Especially usually if they're like, hey, how you doing? Hey, how's everything? You know, you knew something's wrong. Shoot, you could tell immediately. They may have lost a family member. The house may have burned. There's something heavy on it. But you knew, even lost and in school, you could tell. Wow, something ain't right. That's the same way with the sheep, all right? And certainly it'll be that way with the people of God, with God's flock. Another sign of an ill animal is abnormal discharge from eyes and nose. You know, there'll be sometimes a little discharge. But brethren, when there's abnormal discharge from eyes and nose, that's an ill sheep. You know what I'm saying? Crying, weeping. You ever had it happen? Those things happen. But listen, you lose somebody you love, you'll do some crying. And you'll always be able to control it. Because you're wounded. You're wounded on your spirit. Sometimes things happen. Brethren, it's different. And the enemy knows how. And a lot of what we're talking about has to do with spiritual warfare. But it's a sign of an ill sheep. Abnormal discharge from the eyes and nose. Just crying. Crying and just sometimes can't even know completely why. I'm just doing it. Also, if you will, diarrhea and constipation. You said, "Whoa, but how you gonna make how you gonna apply that thing now?" Oh, whoa. Well, in a spiritual sense, there is a healthy confession. You know, when you're confessing, you're voiding something. You're getting there's a healthy confession when you've really done something wrong, and you need to make it right, or you've offended someone. Confess your faults one to another. But brethren, sometimes the enemy can so get on us and drive us. And again, it's healing needed. It's ill to where there's inordinate confession. You go through a time, you know what? You want to confess things you ain't even done. Job felt like, Lord, just show me something. Job, listen. Since Job couldn't find God, he felt like, Lord, if you just convict me of something, then at least I know you're there. You listening? Job like, Lord, make me guilty. Make me guilty. Because if I feel guilty and I confess, at least I know you're there. He's like groping. Couldn't find him the left hand on the right. Listen. So that's a sign. And then, and listen. Also confessing but not forsaking. A lot of people confess a lot of things but they won't do anything about it. So that's okay. That's not right. And then also I said constipation, if you will, refusing to confess and get right. That's a problem too. To where there's obviously something and it won't be dealt with, it won't be confessed, it won't be gotten right. That's a sign of a sick animal. Well, these are all signs that something's not right. But here are some specific diseases. I touched on one of them last week, the nasal bots. From the bot flies, what happens is these bot flies deposit their eggs in the nasal passages. The larvae worm their way up in the inner part recesses of the head, and they start, well, you can imagine. Well, it drives the sheep just about crazy. Sheep have been known to beat their head on tree trunks and run around distracted, almost just insane-like. Why? Just to get relief from something wandering around there in their head. Isn't that amazing? You ever had the enemy plant a thought in your head and it seems like you can't get away from it? I see somebody nodding your head. You know what I'm talking about. It's like plant that thought there. And it's like it's there. That's why people say, I just want to beat my head against the wall. Wow. Here's the thing. I knew all that and I mentioned it last week, but I did a little further study. And guess what I found out? Once those bots, they call them bots. Once those bots get in there, it takes them about 8 to 10 months for them to drop out. When they finally reach a certain stage, they drop out. They do drop out. But it takes about 8 to 10 months. Listen to me. Don't give up when relief don't come as quick as you'd like. Don't give up when relief does not come as quick as you would like. You understand? What the shepherd does a lot of times, he'll anoint the head with oil, and that helps some relief, some temporary relief. Enough for that sheep to just relax a little. But he's not fully well until about 8 to 10 months. 8 to 10 months later, they'll drop out. Brethren, listen to me. There's a lot of misconception today about how demonic powers oppress and I believe can even possess believers. And you might wonder, well, how can that be? A person saved, born of the Spirit of God. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let me explain it to you this way. Some people say, well, how can God and the devil dwell together in one place? Okay, wait a minute. How can God and sin dwell together in one place? And they do if you're saved. How could Paul say, Christ in you, the hope of glory, at the same time he could say, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So Paul could say that he had Christ in him and had sin in him at the same time. Look here. The devil can get a hold of the flesh. Not the inward part. Not the part sealed of God. Not that part born again. This stuff ain't. There's a part of you eternal. I mean, eternally has eternal life. There's a part of you mortal still subject to death. Hadn't been redeemed. This stuff. And it can be messed with. The devil can appear in the presence of God. So because saints don't understand how the devil can even mess with believers, when they finally sometimes recognize this is something demonic, then they think, I must be lost. Oh, son, then it really gets bad. It really gets bad. How do you think the Gibeonites, but think about it, how can the devil get into someone's life who loves God? Love does not keep the devil away, brethren. Love doesn't keep the devil away. The book of Hosea says, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. How did the Gibeonites get in? Did Joshua and them not love God? Did Joshua and them not care about God? What? They loved God. They cared about God. They tricked them. And they slipped in. They didn't confirm it with God. They didn't pray about it. They didn't check it out. and the Gibeonites got in by pretending to be something they weren't. And they got in. Brethren, the problem is, what people don't understand is, people often think the ground given to the enemy always has to be sin. No, it doesn't. It can be any kind of thing. Listen, and what happens is, people say, well, they plead the blood of Jesus against it, and it don't help. I must be lost. Listen, they don't have to give that ground up. As long as we still fulfill the conditions for keeping that ground, either wrong doctrine, either emotionally letting them get into or whatever, as long as those conditions are fulfilled, they stay there until they're driven off and replaced. You understand? It's a battle. It's a fight. That's why it's called spiritual warfare. But those bots that get up there, they drop out after 18 months. I'm just saying this. Don't ever get discouraged when you go through something and it ain't lifting as quick as you'd like. I believe God will help you. He'll sustain you. He'll help you go along. And ultimately, the process will make you stronger and will help you and enlighten you. I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
The key is, you never quit.
That's right.
But don't put timetables. All right. What's the other diseases? Well, I'm going to try to pronounce these things. Enterotoxemia. Enterotoxemia. What is it? Well, we'll get it down where we live, right? It's called the overeating disease. Enterotoxemia. It's called the overeating disease. It happens to lambs, newborns. It's caused by a usually normal and healthy bacteria in the gut. It's a bacteria that's always there. And in the normal circumstances, no problem. It's normal and it's healthy. But too much high energy feeds cause the bacteria to produce a toxin. And it happens in lambs. Brethren, when somebody's newly saved, they need the feed they need to grow. They don't need to be overfed too much. That can be dangerous. Brethren, listen. Somebody newly saved does not need to be real soon trying to go off to Bible Institute, Bible, and get jammed full of knowledge. They need to sit and grow and develop their character and get what they need. Amen. I'm serious. It happens to lambs, a normal healthy bacteria that normally is fine. They eat too much high energy food and it produces a toxin that kills them. What else? Well, and again, sheep need to be in a flock with a shepherd regulating their diet. Too much, too fast for newborns. Sheep need to be in a flock with a shepherd regulating their diet. Too much, too fast for newborns. All right. What other diseases? Blue tongue and sore mouth. Just blue tongue and sore. These are mouth diseases. So that's all we need to know right now. These are diseases of the mouth. Blue tongue and sore mouth. Go to James 1. James 1 verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. What? Not bridling your tongue. Tongue problems. Go to James chapter 3. James 3, verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, our greater matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth of the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So what I'm saying is, brethren, blue mouth and sore tongue. Blue tongue and sore mouth. Be careful, brethren. Be careful and watch out for diseases of the tongue, of the mouth. our words should minister grace to the hearers, and we should speak as the oracles of God. All right? There's another disease. It's called ovine progressive pneumonia. Ovine progressive pneumonia. It's a lung problem. It's a lung problem. Air, breathing, right? Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Quench not the spirit. Ephesians 4. Have to watch out for air problems, lung problems, breathing problems. Don't quench the spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Those things grieve the Spirit of God. And it quenches the Spirit. So we don't want to quench the Spirit of God. We don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. The Bible says, Ephesians 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So lung problems can develop. Breathing problems. Rather, we don't want to have that. That's an illness that needs to be corrected. Rather, when we have problems concerning the Spirit of God, either grieving Him or quenching Him. One of the other problems they run into is foot rot. Foot rot. It affects their walk. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25 of Ephesians 5 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So your walk, foot rot affects your walk. What foot rot does, it causes the soul to separate from the hoof wall. Now, with sheep, there's a natural separation to the hoof. They got a split hoof. But that separation is horizontally. This separation with foot rot is vertical. The soul starts coming loose bottom. Well, listen, if you'll maintain a walk with God, you can walk with others as you ought. And that separation, brother, if you'll stay close with God, you'll have the separation you ought to have. Separation from the world, not separation from God. And you can have the walk that's healthy and good and right. It's said that when a sheep is affected with foot rot, they will crawl on their front knees. You know something? What may look spiritual and humbling may in fact be a symptom of disease. A fawning spirit is not the same as a meek spirit. Meekness can be done manly. Fawning is effeminate. You understand that? And a fawning spirit is a spirit of like, oh yes. That's fake. It's hypocritical. It's effeminate. True meekness, well, it's manly. It's right. You can be meek and manly. Fawning is effeminate. And brother, those sheep will walk on their front knees. It's not humble. It's because they're ill. And brother, some people may look humble, may seem spiritual, but it's not. There's a sign of a disease underneath there. Well, another disease is scrappy. Scrappy. That's what it's called. And basically what it is sheep mad cow disease. Sheep mad cow disease. And you know, mad cow disease is horrible. Matt Leckie's grandma was the first diagnosed case of that in the United States. She died of mad cow disease. And scrappy is sheep mad cow disease. Some sheep are more susceptible than others to this. And I won't go into all this tonight, but you've heard me mention, right, how that just like sheep and people, some are more susceptible to certain things. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. Certain personality types, certain things. We're all susceptible to different attacks. Some are more susceptible to specific kinds and types than others. They say the key to it is, the key to prevention is good sanitation. Just keep things clean. Clean walk with God. Clean mind. Just godliness. And then there's another disease called Listeriosis, I believe is what it is. Okay, and it's similar to sheep mad cow disease. It comes from spoiled silage. Stuff that you put in, you know, like you put it up, you know, but that stuff can get hot. It can go bad. What's that a picture of? Bad doctrine. Spoiled silage. Be careful. You need church, not the internet. Be careful. The disease, pink eye. Go to 2 Peter 1. Pink eye. And not all these diseases, but you know, some of them can be transferred from animals to man. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should be, neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Look at that. And cannot see afar off, forgotten these purged from his old sins. Well, be careful, brother. You can get eye trouble. If you don't add to your faith, if you don't grow and add to your faith, first virtue, then knowledge, then temperance, then patience, then godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. If you don't consciously, by the power of the Spirit of God, work to add those things to your faith, you'll get eye trouble. You'll get eye trouble, just like sheep can. And then the last one. The last one is sheep can get boils or abscesses. Boils or abscesses. Go to Hebrews 12 just a minute. Hebrews 12. And as you're going to Hebrews 12, hold your hand in Hebrews 12 and real quick go to Acts 8. Acts 8. You ever seen a gall on a tree? It's like a round spot, like a boil kind of thing, you know, gall on a tree. All right, look at Acts 8, verse number 23. Acts 8, 23. Look what Peter said to Simon. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And I bring that up because go to Hebrews 12, look at verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Listen, a boil or an abscess is just like bitterness that creeps up. And see, look here, if it's not dealt with, it just festers and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. Now, it needs to be lanced as soon as possible. And it needs to be lanced and drained in a controlled, secure manner. Because if it's not, if you leave it, it'll burst on its own and infect others. Rather, Hebrews 12, any root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many defile. Listen, folks, look here. If you ever get any bitterness, you must, as quick as possible, treat it. In as secure, controlled, clean environment as you can, puncture that thing, drain it, you get it right with God, heal it up, because if you don't, if you let it build, you're about to boil it, let it go, guess what happens? It gets bigger, it's hurting you, you're miserable, you're irritable, because see that bitter, listen, that boil is now getting bigger and making you irritable, affecting you. And you know what? If that thing grows, what will happen is it'll bust. And it's ugly when it does. And when it busts like that and you're around others, it'll infect others. Brethren, you see the analogy. Surely you see the analogy. If you let bitterness continue to grow until it is plainly noticeable, it's going to be a bad scene. Catch it as quick as possible. Some bitterness is not noticeable at first. It's there, but nobody knows about it. But you let it go, pretty soon, those close to you are going to see it. Pretty soon, others are going to see it. You've had a boil, you're going to know it first. And then, like, somebody in the house is going to be like, ooh, what's, ow! You're like, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. And they're going to see that thing. Pretty soon, but I had one on my hand one time when we first got married. She could see it as I was driving in our apartments. That's how big. I had to go have that thing lanced. It was, man, you know what? Others are going to see it now. Bitterness is like that. It starts out. Nobody sees it, but you know it's there. It'll get bigger, and it'll pop sooner or later. But if it does, it'll be nasty, and it'll be ugly, and it can infect others. Don't let it happen. You want to know those sheep? Quick as possible. I remember we had a goat that had, man, alive, had one on its neck. Had to drain that thing, put a plug in, kind of let keep it drain, keep it open, heal it. Well, as soon as possible, get that thing dealt with. Get it dealt with. Listen, understand something. I want to give you something. If you have ever gone through something and you've been hurt, or you've had something you've got right, or something, look, brother, whenever we have handled something wrong, whenever we've been in sin, whenever we made anything right, listen, you know what? For a while, guess what we're going to be in that area? Tender. You understand? We're going to be tender there. Look, have you ever had like a boil or anything and you've drained it, you've treated it, and it's healing, but it's tender? And you bump it every now and then. Oh, are you okay? Yeah, it's getting better, it's getting better. I think it's tender. You know what? A saint of God gets an attitude right, gets sin right, whatever, goes through something. The hard thing, always, y'all hear me, the hard thing will be to sit in church or anywhere and listen, and as the teaching and preaching goes along, something concerning your issue, just, you know, it gets bumped. Just handling things, it gets bumped. It's going to be tender. And you just got to understand it and deal with it. You understand that? Sometimes people aren't aware they bumped it. The preacher may not be aware he bumped it. Somebody else may not be aware they bumped it. You know what you're going to be? Listen, you may be somewhere and you've healed. You've gone through something hurtful, or you may have something healed, or maybe, and you'll be somewhere and somebody's talking and they say something that if they'd been thinking, they probably wouldn't have said, but they didn't mean it. They bumped you. They bumped it. And it hurt. Now listen, you're just going to have to deal with it. And you just have to understand, nobody meant anything, and just deal with it. It's healing. That's part of healing. You ever hurt yourself? You don't stay home all the time. You can't. And you're going to bump it at work. And you're going to bump it in the car. And you're going to bump it out. You're going to bump it. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And you're going to, but it can't be helped. And what that needs to do is remind us, man, sin stinks. And all, you know, I mean, seriously. All kind of, and so it's a reminder of it. Okay? And it'll get better. But be careful. Don't go. You understand? Let's suppose, you know, you understand what I'm saying? If somebody in the house accidentally bumped it, you go, man, stupid, you're my hand. Whoa, man, you got a line. They didn't know. They didn't mean to do that. Come on, you hate, you hurt yourself, but okay. But let me tell you something. Come on, y'all understand what I'm saying? You get something right, you God purges you something, or you get an attitude right, or there's some sin, but you know what? Come on, folks, as you go through the Bible, it's going to be preached on. It's going to be something similar. It's going to be brought. It's going to peg you at times. It's going to be bumped. Just understand that's the way it goes. And it's going to wince, and you can't do nothing to be done about it. Just keep going as it heals. There was a sister at the church when I first started pastoring. God bless her. She was precious. But her family was, it was just a mess now. And she had got saved later on, and her daughters were, it was just an ugly kind of mess. And every time I would bring up something about family or preaching on family or all that, she'd just sit there and weep. She'd just sit there and weep. And it hurt me. I hated everything, you know, but she told me, she goes, Pastor, don't you worry about me. She said, it's my fault. You know, it's just, I just wish it could have been different. She goes, you got to preach the word, you know. I mean, brother, I was not trying to make that woman squirm and feel. God bless her. That'd be plumb. But, you know, just preach the word of God. You got to, and it's going to. And she just, it was tender, man. She's tender. But she knew. Goodness, she had sense enough and character to realize that's just the way it is. Yeah, it's going to hurt. And I'm going to cry some. I got to, you know, but you got to go on. And I'll heal and I'll get better. So remember that. Brethren, remember those things. And it'll help us. It'll help us to be the kind of sheep we ought to be to the Lord and be pleasing to our shepherd. And it ought to help us understand, too, that, hey, brethren, just like these things go on with sheep, they go on with God's sheep, too. We got a good shepherd who knows how to take care if we'll stay close to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, teach us and guide us and understand. Help give us understanding. Help us, Lord, to assimilate these things. Help us, Lord, to file them away in our hearts. Lord, if we need to make application with them now, help us to do so. If we need to file it away to later, help us, Lord, so to do. And Lord, just help us, dear God, to, Lord, as you are the great and good shepherd, Lord, help us to, in any shepherding aspect, that we have in our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord, to learn these lessons and, Lord, be a help in any way we can be. And Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name and please for his sake.